Kind words, and I'm delighted to be here tonight. I'm just kidding. You're going to have to excuse me too, because sometimes when I'm sick, I kind of get a little goofy. I'm not on medicine or nothing like that, but it just seems to come with my nature. But yeah, it's been a Wednesday night. I was starting to feel like I was coming down with crud, and it was a full day yesterday, that's for sure, and I'm thankful to be able to be here. I'm thankful for those that are able to be able to live stream. I live streamed this morning for the first time. The sound was great, Michelle, and I really was appreciative of our brother's sermon this morning. And so I just wanted to kind of kick this evening off. Wow, that was a joke in itself, because it's the Super Bowl, and I don't even care about the Super Bowl. That just came out. That was natural. I don't have that written down, okay? Just for the record. But one thing I do have written down is the fact.
Who's keeping score?
Right, who's keeping score anyway? Thank you, Andrew. But one thing that I did find amusing today was that, you know, as I woke up this morning, I was feeling really bad this morning. I was like, man, I just knew it was going to be a rough day, and it's because yesterday was such a long day. And I just wanted to share with everybody the fact that I actually got, in a nice way, I got scolded for wanting to come to church tonight, or today, and I was told that I needed to stay home and rest. And it's usually the other case around with the kids and stuff. I don't want to go to church. And I was at home and I was like, I really need to go to church. And my wonderful wife was like, no, you need to stay home and rest. So the boss told me what to do and the orders were followed. So she's shaking her head like she's going to kill me tonight. And that's probably going to be the case. But here we are. And the reason why, just the way that I feel that I do is I always try to. That's another thing. I don't challenge myself, but a lot of times I push myself more than I need to push myself, especially when I'm sick, because there's always things that need to get done, regardless whether you're sick or not. And so I had it in my plans yesterday to be able to take the day to smoke the pork for the reunion coming up. And at the same time, we had a wonderful plumbing project that I needed to attend to at home, and that was going on at the same time as smoking the pork for the reunion. And it was a little more challenging than what I like it to be, considering that some of the plumbing was for the spigot on the back of the house. It's been leaking and leaking for, I don't know what, year and a half, 2 years? And you know, it used to be a nice slow trickle, so you just move it from plant to plant to plant, to push to tree, and it's gotten more than that, and it's created some little mud puddles in our backyard, and then with the dogs, they track it in. But the challenge with that, it stressed me out, and it took longer than it should have, is that the plumbing was actually partially in the wall, and I was afraid that I was gonna burn down the house. And so I had to take all the necessary precautions to be able to take care of that plumbing, and it worked out good. I'm thankful. And one of the things that I was doing, I was really praying to the Lord yesterday. Like, there was no shortcoming of prayers when it came time to fire up that soldering torch and have at it. But you know, I think with everything that the Lord does give us all kinds of talents to be able to do things. And in a lot of those talents, sometimes we feel a little bit nervous going in, but in all confidence, taking the necessary steps, understanding the rules and the processes, and just walking yourself through it helps you be able to develop confidence. And I found that in my walk and my spiritual life as well. And one of the neat things is that, you know, if anybody's done plumbing here, one of the things is that if there's water trickling through the pipe, you're not going to get something sweated off and you're not going to get it on. And we had this constant trickle, and Alicia and I are just sitting there staring at it. And I was just like, man, I shut off the water main at the front of the house, the water main at the street. And we had everything inside the house opened up. And one thing I really appreciate about brothers in Christ, is that there's always somebody that knows more than you. And our Lord and Savior knows more than all. But at that time, I was at a loss, and Alicia said, hey, why don't you just call Isaac and see, you know, if he knows anything he could do. And he told me about the old bread trick where you can crumble up some bread, shove it in the pipe, and it'll stop the water. But he did mention first, did you shut off the, or turn on the spigot at the front of the house? And I immediately, the light bulb came on, and I was like, oh, silly me, the path of least resistance. We flush all the toilets, we had all the plumbing open, but I didn't turn the spigot on in front of the house. And as soon as I did, the water shut off in the back, and amen, we got the job done. So I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that prayers were answered. Man, and I was originally not going to go that route with doing it myself, but when I got on the phone and talked to a plumbing company locally, I said, you got to be crazy on how much they want to charge to replace a spigot on a house. It was $400. I said, well, either I'll do it myself or I'll burn down my house, one of the two, because I am not paying that kind of money to put a spigot on the back of my house. And, you know, we were blessed, and it was nice to be able to do that. But, you know, in all that, so stayed up late last night, cooking, getting food taken care of. I think I was up past midnight. I don't know. But, you know, I was putting this sermon together at the same time yesterday as well. So I was doing like multiple things. Spinning plates on sticks is what I call it at work. Finding time to do things. And so this is probably going to be one of the shortest sermons I ever have preached across the pulpit, if I could get to it. And you know, it's interesting because I was waiting for someone to say amen to that. And I know that the Lord always gives us these opportunities to be able to share our lives. And I think the most important thing is that when we do share our lives, that we share the blessings that God gives us in our lives. It really helps us be able to grow in the gospel. And it's something that I've really been seeing and reflecting on. And at our Wednesday night study, I did a study on grace. And one of the things I've been thinking about is taking a look at myself in the mirror and having a self-reflection on myself. And I was thinking about that, and that's what we're going to read about here in a little bit in this sermon, is that I look and see in so many years, I just kind of went through life being blind to the things that God wanted to show me. And I have grown to understand a new appreciation and to be able to let my eyes be opened by Him. And you know, this title of my sermon is directly reflected to that, and to those that are looking for Christ, that are seeking Christ, and Christ does cross our paths. And it's that those are the times to where we call out to Him and take advantage of those situations, because it brings a fountain of blessings. And so what I wanted to do, and I broke up a few verses here, is I wanted to get started. And if you want to follow along, I'm going to read in Luke, and it's going to be chapter 18, and I'm going to go through, and I did a little bit of a study on this, and it's going to be from verses 35 all the way through the end of the chapter, verse 43. And what I'm going to do, because I was going to put it all up on here, but it was just too condensed, too squished on the slide. So I have it on my phone here, and I wanted to read through it. And then kind of as I was going through this and seeing some things, I really was learning a lot from this and being able to reflect on it. And I wanted to share some of those things with you. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to get started. And what I'm going to do is just read through these verses, and then we'll talk, and we're going to break it down and talk about it a little bit. So it starts off, it says, and it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the way side begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. And so I wanted to start off on these first few verses here because it kind of helps us be able to draw a picture and draw us in as to what's going on here. You know, and as Christ is coming into Jericho, you know, this is something that I was looking at as he sees this blind man begging. There he is, and there's a couple interesting points, key points in here that I stumbled across. By no means am I a subject matter expert in the gospel, nor in plumbing, but it's time and it's effort that we put into digging deeper into the scriptures, praying about it when we get started, thinking about those things that Christ is trying to teach us that really help us be able to understand the message that he's trying to give. And we all know that Christ has came into the world to bring his light into the darkness. We know that the world has so many things that detract us from seeing the goodness of God and all that he does in our lives. But we know that through our prayer, through understanding the gospel and understanding the purpose of the gospel, that it helps us be able to be healed. It helps us be able to see those things that we haven't seen before, to have a better understanding of who Christ was and why he came and how he cares for us. And I think about that, and I think about this gentleman that unfortunately, you know, I never had the experience of being blinded, but I think about this gentleman here that was sitting there on the wayside and he was begging. You know, this guy was destitute. He didn't have the means to be able to provide for himself. They didn't have these clinics in this day. They didn't have the support systems for the blind. You're basically, you know, you're a burden to society. And in Mark 10:46, so this is in the other gospels as well, I came across, it doesn't say his name in here, but in Mark 10:46, it gives account of this gentleman's name, and his name is Bartimaeus. And so I was like, I was going to shorten it down. I was going to say, we're just going to call this guy Bart. But when we all think of Bart, we think of probably The Simpsons. So this gentleman, Bartimaeus, he's the son of Timaeus. This is out of verse 46 of Mark chapter 10. So this is the gentleman that they're referring to. His name is Bartimaeus. And this gentleman, he is just, you know, trying to figure out what's going on. What's all the commotion about? And it's interesting here because he knows, he feels, I'm sure he does, that there's something going on that is special. And one of the things here that he does is he's asking, hey, what's going on? What's this all about? And I thought about that. And, you know, that's one of those things that as I came to the church, this church in particular, you know, it was interesting to me. I started to be inquisitive of, you know, who are these weird people that are so nice and friendly to me? And it's something that we see amongst the members of the church, and we see the openness and the love that God gives his children. That's what our eyes witness. But this gentleman here, he doesn't have that capability, but he does have the capability to be able to reach out to those that are around him and ask, hey, what's going on here? Here, explain it to me. I don't think that they had Braille back then, so they couldn't write it out, and he couldn't read about Christ or anything that like that. He took everything in by what he heard. And he had to paint this picture of what's going on. And I'm sure that as these individuals that were around him were telling him what this meant, he was probably enthralled by all of the goodness and the beauty that was there presented in front of him, but he couldn't see it. But I'm sure he could at the same time. And, you know, this is one of those things that with your senses, I've preached about our senses before, that I have an understanding that when you're blind, your hearing is so much more perceptive than the average person, because those senses are heightened to be able to absorb sounds to help you be able to process information, and vice versa. Somebody that can't hear but can see can kind of try to figure this out, and their eyesight is that much more keen than somebody that can't hear. But here we have this gentleman that he is very inquisitive about, hey, what's going on? And once he finds out what's going on, he says, he cries out saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And when they which went before rebuked him, which I find is very interesting. And there's a lesson in this that I was like, wow, okay. You know, I think that Christ was teaching those that are around him to pay attention to this portion, especially. Rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And there was actually some arguments about the fact that he called him the son of David. And there might have been people around saying, no, don't say that, because you're going to cause trouble here. And so this is an opportunity, though, that this person that wasn't able to see Christ was actually seeing what was going on and knew that there was something good to become of it. So he wanted to get Christ's attention. He was like, hey, I am all in on the fact that this Christ is the Son of God. And he is intentionally saying that, hey, Christ, Jesus, I am here. I am here. He's crying it much the more. So he's being bold in what he's doing. He has got this confidence in knowing that there is something that is going to be there that can help him, that can bless him. There's this man, this child of God, that needs to be blessed by the Son of God. And it's interesting how Christ relates us to his children, and you know, even siblings fight among themselves. I see it all the time in my house, and it's just a human nature. And these folks didn't want Bartimaeus to be a bother to Christ, whether he was trying to get to Jericho or if he was drawing too much attention to him. But he is earnest in his call to Christ. He is doing it with fervor. He wants to get his attention. And I thought about that, and I thought about how Christ wants us to be able to reach out to him like that. He wants to hear our cries. He wants us to call to him. In all these difficult situations that we come into in our lives, he wants us to reach out to him. We do have a merciful God. We have a God that loves us. And I believe, and I know, and God has proven it to me that, you know, through prayer, there is those blessings that come from a Father that love us. And it's the adversary that doesn't want us to be praying. It's just the opposite. The adversary wants us to just go on with our daily life and not give it any thought. We're too busy to give it thought. We're too busy to stop and think and ponder and take time and meditate upon what God is wanting and desiring his children to do, to learn, to grow in. And it's just like any parent. He's there to protect us, to watch us, to help us, to mend us when we're sick, to be able to heal us. And I think about that and the adversary, how He's always trying to put up a roadblock, especially when it comes to our prayers. So one of the things is we need to be resolute in that. But in 2 Nephi chapter 12, or is it 14? Oh, I can look it up. It's either 12 or 14, but it's verses 11 and 12. So I believe it's chapter 14. It says, "For if you would hearken unto the spirit which teacheth a man to pray, you would know that ye must pray. For the evil spirit teacheth not a man to pray, but teacheth him that he must not pray. But behold, I say unto you that ye must pray always and faint not, that ye must not perform anything unto the Lord, save it in the first place ye shall pray unto the Father in the name of Christ, that he will consecrate thy performance unto thee, that thy performance may be for the welfare of your soul." So this gentleman is crying out the much more. So when you're feeling down, when you're feeling like there isn't an end, when you're feeling that there's no hope, there's always hope. You have a Father that love you. We have a merciful God, and he wants to be able to hear those cries. He wants you to do that. He desires of that. He finds joy in that. And so that leads us to be, I put this little bit in there, resolute, as I was saying. It's having a fixed purpose, determined, hence, bold, firm, steady, constant in pursuing a purpose. And as I've said before, I know that all of us have a purpose in this life. And I think as I was visiting with a gentleman yesterday, on top of everything else, you know, there's interesting opportunities where I believe that Christ will cross your path and help you be able to see that in what you're doing is 100% supportive by him. And, you know, I've gone through life and had some challenges in my upbringing. And one of the things I wanted to share is the feelings that I had as a very young man, you know, from a broken family and not having the support. I always had resentment towards my mother and my father, probably much more so with my mother. I'm admitting this just because of, I believe it was my own selfishness, you know. And as I grew older, I found that when you start to see things differently as an adult, your perception of people change because of the situations that they're in. And so, you know, when you're living in the moment and you're naive to, you know, a lot of the difficulties that people go through, it can give you a different perspective on other people's lives, such as my mother's and I. But one of the things that God has helped me be able to see is that in everything I do, even with the self-reflection in through prayer, is that he's shown me 100% support in everything I've ever done, unless it was bad. And we all know that how that route goes. You're on your own, buddy, and you learn the hard way. But everything that I've applied my prayer to, that was for the good work of the gospel, for God, you know, putting my own emotions aside and letting God do the work. He has supported me 100%. And so circling back around that really helped me be able to understand that, you know, people end up in unfortunate situations all the time. And it was an unfortunate upbringing for me. But one of the things that as I grew and matured and came into the church and started learning is that I can't hold this against my mother. You know, despite all the messed up stuff that ever happened, that my mother took care of me, and that my father did as well. But my mother took the majority of the work, 9 months out of the year for the most part. And that was something that God helped me be able to see, is that people, you know, even in their struggles, a mother will always love her child. And it was more of myself not being able to conform to the situation life gave me, because I know now that life doesn't always give you rainbows and unicorns, and it does have its difficulties, but God helps us be able to see his support in what we're doing, to be able to see the blessings in it and the blessings that we can be as long as we're resolute and we're following after him. So in conversation yesterday, I really had an opportunity to be able to share the goodness of the gospel. And I thank God for that, because I'm not the man that's going to change the world, but I know that God doesn't want me to change the world, you know. But if I can have the opportunity to help somebody else be able to think and to see how much God loves us and supports us, that's the purpose that God gives us, whether it's one person, 100 people, whether it's in your neighborhood or it's 1,000 miles away, it doesn't matter. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 13, that's what we have to understand. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. And I'm always up for learning new things and growing and understanding, and God has proven that to be there. Anytime that I pick up the gospel now, I know that I'm still going to be learning. There's still opportunity to learn and to grow. And so it doesn't matter where you're at in life, how many different jobs you've had, how many different directions you've gone in your career path. We're all something, and we're all given talents by God, and those talents are continuing to grow every day. And so I was telling Alicia that yesterday I was a lot of things in one day. I was sick, number one. I was a father. I was a cook. I was a student. I was a friend. I was a brother. I was a plumber. I was a mechanic. I was a Christian. There's all these different things that we are every single day. But one of the things that surpasses all these things that we can do is being a child of God and doing those things that God calls us to do. And that, as our brother Jerry was saying this morning, share the love of God. And I think about that. And, you know, I've learned to, through fear and strengthened in the Lord, is to become a little bit more proactive in that. And I challenge myself in these situations where it's like almost like I see that Christ is there watching, and he's like, you can do it. And I'm like, oh boy, here we go, Lord. I'm gonna say this, and I don't know what's gonna become of it, but amen. You know, amen. Lord, whatever your intentions are, as weird as I feel, as awkward as I feel, if I fumble over my words, it's okay. It's okay, because it's for you. And so hopefully, fingers crossed, we had an opportunity, my kids and I, two of my boys and I, and we decided to embark on a new adventure of doing some, not karate, but jiu-jitsu. And it's a self-defense class. And I wanted to share this because I'm hoping, and it seemed like it was really good. And our brother Adam, you know, he tells us this story about when he started at the fire station. I was like, oh boy, this is a new program. I already see it coming. And we did this 10-day free trial at this jiu-jitsu place. It's really fun and cool. It's a combative self-defense course. So I thought it would be really good for the kids. And the old guy will tag along with and learn something new. And I seen it coming. And we didn't go last Wednesday night. Or was it the Wednesday before? It was the first Wednesday. We couldn't go because the class is on Wednesday night. There's a class, combatives course, from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. And so the first Wednesday night, we couldn't go. And, you know, the Saturday before we did go, though, so it was Saturday morning, and then we went Monday night, and then Wednesday we couldn't go. And then when we went the next Saturday, not this Saturday that just passed, last Saturday, one of the individuals, the instructors that were there, he was like, hey, where were you Wednesday night? Because we were all excited about it. It was like really cool. You know, we get done with the first class, we're in, come home, go in the house, and we're flying all over the place with the one little thing that we learned. We thought we were like ninjas. It was really fun, and we really enjoy it. And so we didn't go Wednesday night because we had church. So if we have another special business meeting to change the time of church on Wednesday night, I might initiate that. Just kidding. But so I'm just kidding. Let me get a drink after that because I don't want to look up. But we went Saturday, last Saturday, and the gentleman said, hey, I noticed that you guys weren't here Wednesday night. And I said, this was it. And I was like, good Lord's watching me right now. And I said, well, it's because I go to church. Oh, where do you go to church? And I said, I go to the Church of Christ. And by the way, I'm the pastor too. You know, I'm like humbly like saying this to him. He's like, oh, wow, that's awesome. So you go to church, you're a Christian and all? Yeah. So we had to start the class. Class started. And then we went last Monday night. And so it was the following. There was a Saturday, then the Sunday. So we went Monday night. And I ran back into the gentleman. And he's like, hey, you know, Gary, I was sitting on the couch Sunday with my wife for like 2 hours. And I was bored out of my mind. And so I was like, man, we ought to go to Pastor Gary's church. So I started looking all over the internet for Pastor Gary, and I couldn't find you. And I was like, well, that was probably my bad. I should have gave you the address. So I gave him the address, and I was wondering if he was going to be here this morning, but he had a tournament that he had to go to. So yesterday afternoon, late afternoon. So I don't know if he's was hurt or whatever, but he said we were going to go. If I could have found it, I would have been there. And I was like, that's just awesome to be able to hear that. But getting back to, it was being bold in who I am as a child of God. And I felt really good about it. At the same time, you know, is it gonna lead him to come here? Yes, no, I don't know. It might be a 50% chance. But even if it doesn't, I was thinking about that and the fact that this could get him to think about God more. You know, just because he doesn't show up in the pew doesn't mean anything. You know, if he starts thinking, God starts working on his heart, that's the difference because he has God in his life now. And it would be great if he came. That's my hope. But, you know, being proactive, being bold and sharing the light of God, these are the things that God supports us 100% and he blesses us with. So being able to see yourself and where you're at in your environment and building a beautiful picture that can bring people to God, I think is very important. And we can't be blind to that. We can't turn a blind eye to that. And so I said this was going to be the shortest sermon ever. Okay. So, continuing on, and so Jesus stood there and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And so again, this is a proof that Christ hears the cries of his children, and he has mercy towards them, and he blesses all of them. And Bartimaeus, you know, he had that in his heart, that he knew that his petition was going to be heard. And that's what I want you to know, is that your petitions to God are going to be heard. But be ready for it. Be ready to receive that blessing. Be bold and ready to be able to share that with others. And one thing that's neat here is that in the previous verses, you know, this gentleman was rebuked by those that were following after Christ. You know, they were like, wow, you know, hey, leave this guy alone. But there was an interesting thing that I read about this that, oh, yeah, look at this. This is really interesting. those that rebuked him, Christ commanded them to bring him, Bartimaeus, to Christ. So those that were like, no, he's whatever, leave him alone, they rebuked him, Bartimaeus, he told them and commanded them to bring that man to me. And it's interesting how Christ is teaching them a lesson in a way that not even the individual that is the lowliest is going to be passed by me. I am going to give him more than anybody can give him. He's going to make him whole. And I believe that when we put our hearts out to God in a persistent manner that is with a contrite spirit, that God gives us that blessing as well. And so we have to see these opportunities. We have to pursue after these opportunities. And, you know, it's interesting because Christ already knows all the things that we want and that we need. And so there's that, I want to use the term expectation, that it's kind of like when you encourage your child to go to school for the first day, you know, it's like, come on, let's go. You can do it, you know, and Christ wants that from us as well. You know, he wants to give it to us, but he wants us to be able to reach out to him, you know, to the Father and ask him for these things. And that's necessary and important that we do that. And God's going to help us. He's going to give us that what we need. We're going to receive those things. And when we do those, receive those things from God, that we give glory to him. You know, these are the fruits of our labor. And labor isn't something that you just do physically. I believe that you can labor emotionally, you can labor physically, you can labor mentally. There's all different ways that you can labor for the Lord, and there's the fruits that we bear because of that. And our faith is increased through our prayer, and our fruits are proven through our faith. And it all comes together, and it's a wonderful, beautiful thing that even when we're blind, we can see those things. And so this gentleman, he received his sight right there in front of everybody. Christ was showing the world, and it's documented that he brings light into the world. He helps the blind be able to see. And so glory be to God in that. And so he immediately received his sight, Bartimaeus, and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. And so, you know, all these situations that we get ourselves into, you know, that can cause frustrations in our lives, and you can feel as if you're being ridiculed, and you could feel as if, you know, the world's against you. Always remember that you have the support of your Father. When you cry out to him, he's going to stop, and he's going to hear, and he's going to help you. And so one of the things is I thought about this, and I got a verse out of Messiah that I wanted to read, is that I know that through, it's in Isaiah 2, 53, I believe. I know that Christ can relate to this man because Christ knew what was going to happen to him. He was going to be in a difficult situation. And not only can Christ relate to this man, but he can relate to all of us too and those things that we deal with. You know, Messiah 8:18, yeah, and it is in Isaiah 53:3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. You know, Christ had to go through all these difficulties too. But what was Christ trying to do? He was trying to share his love and show people, help people be able to see the goodness that he was, and glorifying his Father was one of his purposes of coming here to do. And this gentleman that was blind, that received his sight, glorified God, and that pleased Christ. And that is something that it's an interesting dynamic of how the gospel works in our lives, is that, you know, we have these difficulties, we have these problems, and we have these opportunities we can glorify God because of his Son that was given to us and what he went through for us to be lifted up. And all that circles back around to God the Father. And it pleases God the Father, it pleases Christ, and we find pleasure when we put our hearts out there in glorifying God, and we're blessed by it. It's an interesting dynamic of how it was structured for us to have joy in our lives. I know this gentleman had all kinds of joy, tears probably coming out of his eyes that never worked. And what did he do? He followed Christ after that. It changed his life. It changed his life for others, forever, and others that were there as well. It changed their lives. And so those are the things that we have to be able to see, reflect, look at ourselves, be bold in this day in which we live, take those opportunities. But most importantly is to be able to let the Lord heal us inside. You know, God gives us all these different organs to be able to do things. And one of the most important things is our sight. And it helps us be able to get where we need to go. And I would ask that you would pray that God helps you be able to see things in a different manner, in a way that he desires for you to see it. That way, he could be glorified as he so deserves. So don't let the opportunity pass you by. Being able to, so Alicia and I were talking, and we need to go to the eye doctor. As we age, our eyes deteriorate or whatever it does. I think I actually read it was actually a loss of blood flow, like you decrease the amount of blood flow and you got the hardening of your retina or whatever it is. There's some things that happen as you age. But, you know, my grandpa had cataracts and he was pretty much blind right before he passed away. Glaucoma, cataracts and glaucoma. But one thing that, if that's my if that's my outcome with my organs, my eyes in life, I pray that I could be like the blind man and have a healthy spiritual vision of what God wants me to see, even if I am physically blind. So whatever God has in store for you, I would pray that you would ask the Lord to help you be able to see things from a different perspective. So God bless and thank you for this time. And thank you for your prayers. I know people were praying for me, and I appreciate that. God bless.